Luke chapter 21 and reading from the 34th verse. Now, I used to get distracted transparently and being transparent with the activity with the kids. And I felt convicted because the Lord said, man, you want church growth? That's a lot of whole church growth, a lot of church growth over there. A lot of kids. And thank the Lord for kids ministry in Sunday school. And that's a good problem. Somebody say it's a good problem. Good problem. And take heed to yourselves. Somebody say, watch yourself. Lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. That's not surfing. That means to indulge in excess of anything or to supply in anything in excess, to overdo it. Don't be overcharged and with surfeiting or carousing and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that the day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on some of them that dwell on the face. For as a snare shall it come on all of them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray once in a while that ye may be accounted. Pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape some of these things that shall come to pass. All these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. It says, but take heed to yourselves and be on your guard, lest your hearts be overburdened and depressed, weighed down with giddiness, or with the giddiness and headache. Notice this, and nausea of self-indulgence and worldly worries and cares pertaining to the business of this life. And lest the day come upon you suddenly like a trap or a noose, for it will come upon all who live upon the face of the entire earth. Somebody say, watch yourself. I want to preach to you on this thought. Watch yourselves. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your manifold blessings, Lord. We thank you for your grace, and we thank you for the Holy Ghost, God. We thank you for the wonderful spirit of worship and these precious people, Lord, that have come to, Lord, to learn, to be encouraged, to be convicted, to be challenged, Lord, to be put back on the straight and narrow, God, to be filled with the Holy Ghost, God, to confess their faults, God, and to find new direction, God, to hit a recalibrate button, God, whatever it is they've come, God, needing and laying their burdens down, God. We pray today, God, that you would help us all be a doer of your word, God. And these signs shall follow us, God. And we give you the glory and the honor and the praise and the thanks, God, for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. For you are good and great and mighty and holy and worthy, O God. Amen. One more time. Look at your neighbor as you're seated and tell him, you better watch yourself. You better watch yourself. Amen. God bless you as you are seated. We don't want to get caught with the cares of this world. Jesus is talking and he says to watch or to take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged. We know that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We know that our heart is the soul, I'm going to use the term, the heartbeat of life. And we got to ensure that the scripture says, as Jesus said, to watch. To watch means to keep awake. It means to don't be sleepy, to be aware, to pay attention, to be vigilant. That word vigilant means to keenly be watchful to detect danger. Vigilant means ever awake and alert. Don't know about you, but if you were like Pastor Panero growing up, your folks probably told you, you better watch out when you cross the street. Look both ways before you cross the street. You better pay attention. When I got my license, you better pay attention to those mirrors and keep your eyes on the road. You know, was it 11 o'clock and 2 o'clock? Or keep your eyes on the road. Pay attention. I couldn't even drive with the radio on for a long time because, you know, thought it was going to be a distraction. It was, too. You know, you'd be driving and listen to Fred Hammond. You know, we start driving a little bit faster. And But you better watch yourself. You ever tell your kids, you better watch yourself. They start picking on you, sitting there on the couch trying to relax and read a book, and she's coming around bumping you in the back of the head. This don't happen in our house, obviously. And so you better watch yourself. You better be careful. But we got to be vigilant. Scripture tells us in Luke 21 and 34, watch out. Don't let your hearts be dulled by carousing, by the worries of this life. Don't let the day catch you unaware like a trap. You know, we as kids can relate that, the song says, you better watch out. You better not pout. Right? And we get more excited and we pay more attention about watching out for a man with a big tummy and maybe some presents for us than we are worried about the King of Glory that knows everything about us. He truly knows if we've been listening or we've been good or we've been bad and what we've been doing. Sometimes we're more worried about watching out for the boss on the job, right? More worried about, well, the boss is here. We better work. We better do what we said we're going to do. And we're more worried about the boss. And sometimes we pretend to be doing something when the boss is around, but we can't pretend with the Lord. He knows all about us. He knows everything about us. I remember, working in the industry of retail, specifically in asset protection and loss prevention. And we would have, lots of trainings, and we would teach our associates about alert signals of suspected shoplifters or employees that would steal or embezzle, and folks that would come in with the intentions to rob the store or fraud that would take place. You know, the IRS is never going to call you and tell you that you owe $1,000 and to pay over the phone with a gift card from Kohl's. That's never going to happen, but it happens. People fall prey to things like that. And so we would do trainings. You got to watch out for the alert signals. You got to watch out for things that the red flags that would indicate that maybe somebody's up to no good. You know, when somebody's paying more attention to everything around them versus what they're buying, and they're just grabbing things randomly. Now somebody's going to listen and say, oh, that's how you do it. And they're randomly just grabbing things without regard to price or size. Most people don't shop that way, especially men.
Yeah. Right.
Men walk up right to the item, they grab it, and they go fast. All the men say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And the lady may grab it, and she may walk around the store 900 times with that item in every direction, working up the courage to put it on the credit card. She's trying to buy something she don't need, but she wants. Trying to justify it so when she gets home and the husband sees it, she could say, I had it in the closet for a while. You got to watch yourself. Gotta watch yourself. But Jesus is saying we need to watch ourselves. He's telling us that He's coming back. He's coming back for a people that have been watching themselves. They're gonna be ready for when He comes back. You've heard it saying that some folks, they don't wanna leave. In fact, somebody told me the other day they didn't wanna leave the altar call because they were afraid of missing out. It's very refreshing to hear that. Somebody said, you know, Pastor, I don't want to leave because I'm afraid of missing out on something. I wonder if we would have that same passion once again to say, you know, I don't want to miss church. I don't want to miss prayer. I don't want to miss an altar call. I don't want to miss a men's meeting or a ladies' gathering or feeding the homeless because I don't want to miss out. But more than that, I don't want to miss out on my relationship with the Lord. I don't want to get distracted by the things and the cares of life and miss out when our Savior comes back to call His people home. I don't want to miss out when the trumpet of the Lord sounds and His feet touch the ground and when He begins to call all the saints home to be with Him. I don't want to miss out on the opportunity of hearing those words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You know, people have proven to all of us that they don't want to miss out, that they would sit out in front of stores and they will wait and they would sit in the fog and in the snow and in the rain and they will call out of work. They will miss out on sick days and they're not sick. They're just sitting there waiting in line, working in pairs, husbands and wife and kids and family members all standing outside a Best Buy or Target to get a $200 discount on a TV or on a radio or on a refrigerator, and they stay there because they don't want to miss the opportunity to get something that is material. Because it's a bargain. And we have something that is eternal. We have something that will last forever, for eternity. It means it's forever and forever and forever. And we gotta ensure that we don't miss any opportunity we have every single day to be in the presence of the Lord. That we don't look to anything to fulfill a need that should come and ought to be coming and needs to be coming from God. And knowing that I gotta watch myself. I gotta watch my mannerisms. I gotta watch my mouth. I gotta watch my heart. I gotta watch my attitude. I gotta watch my dress. I gotta watch my belief system. I gotta make sure that I don't fall to the ways of this world, but I watch myself and I pray and I got my mind made up and I'm looking up for my redemption draweth nigh when everything is around me is spinning out a circle and out of control, that I'm watching unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Wonder how many of us feel that same way today, very passionate about our relationship with God, our ministry involvement, our calling, our faithfulness, our obedience to God, our holiness, our stewardship, our anointing, our prayer, or our worship. Is it something that we seem as absolutely necessary, or something that is convenient? It makes sense. Or if it feels good, I'll do it. If it doesn't crowd my day, I'm all in. If it's trendy, I think I'll squeeze it in. If I could get by with it, if pastor says something or asks me, I might. But until then, it's really not necessary. I'll do it later, because right now I'm just not feeling it. Better watch yourself. Kind of, pastor, I'm just kind of in a funk. I'm in maintenance mode. If I can just get through this next week of school, if I can get the bills paid off, if I can just get healthy enough, if I could get the cars fixed, maybe next month I'll catch up on stewardship. The Bible says in Romans 13 and 11 that now knowing the time, that now is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation near than when we believe. Somebody say, watch yourself. Got to be aware that our hearts don't become overindulged or overcharged with the cares of this life, so that the day would come upon us unaware. Our scripture text is Jesus is talking to the believers, and he's telling them himself about the possibilities of getting caught up and overcharged with life. Just overdoing the going and the coming, the buying and the selling, the carousing around. I'm deeply concerned as a pastor that sometimes the people of God, that we have a tendency to get sidetracked and frustrated and overcharged with the cares of this life. And we do it sometimes intentionally, just saying it's just a season and it's just a phase. But I'm sure glad that you know when you're going to die. I'm sure glad that you know when the Lord's going to come back, because we don't have time to play with heaven or hell. This is a real thing. This is a real business. We're playing with live ammunition here. This, at any moment, the Lord can call our number. The Lord could call all of us together, or we could drive down the road and right there and then have something tragic happen to us. Everything happens to old people, to young people, to middle age. Death is no respecter of person, and God is no respecter of person. I want us to understand that we have a heaven to gain. There's a heaven for us to gain. There's a hell to shun, and we cannot become overindulged with the cares of this life. The psalmist tells us that he knoweth our frame, that we're the dust of the earth. God knows that. Scripture tells us that in Genesis that the Lord breathed life into us. He formed man from the dust of the earth. So we got to remember and understand that dust to dust. It's who we are, with ideas and comments and lifestyles and attitudes that, well, we beat the addiction. So I think I'm strong enough now to associate with people, places, and things that were influencers of that addiction before. Better watch yourself. Right. Pastor, I've been in the church a long time. I was here when you got here. You better watch yourself. I don't need you to hold me accountable. I, I've already done my time. I've already invested my time. I've already helped build this church. I've already paid my dues. I'm not on the platform and leadership anymore, so holiness is not a big deal. It really doesn't apply to me anymore. Really? Better watch yourself. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of your pastor. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear or the reverence of God. Amen. Hebrews 12:41 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. We serve a holy God. We read a holy Bible. And He expects us to be a holy people. The scripture tells us, for we were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Inwardly, outwardly, in our hearts, in our minds, in our dress, in our behaviors, in our activities, in our lifestyles, and in our communication. Tell your neighbor, you better watch yourself. We got to be mindful that we do not become overcharged with self-reliance or a narcissistic relationship to God. Remembering that we are serving God. That's who we're serving. We're serving God. Serving is an act of a person or a thing that serves. When something serves, it acts as a servant. To answer for the purpose, to render assistance, to be use of, to help or to aid. When you go to a restaurant, you have a server. They're there to serve you. You ask for more ranch, more tapatio. You ask for a refill on your Pellegrino. They're there to serve you. We are here to serve God. We serve Him with all that we have. Well, I don't have much. Well, serve Him with what you do have, because what you do have is enough. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, and with all thy strength. We gotta make sure that we are watching ourselves, where we're going, who we're with, what we're talking about, what we're buying, what we're spending our time with, and say, you know what? Does it please God? Is it appropriate? Is it built on the principle of God? Is it godliness? Is it holiness? Is it something that God's gonna be pleased with? If God were to come back right now, what's He going to find me doing?
Right. Yeah.
This is not just to get all you can get and keep it to yourselves,
No. But
it's to let your cup runneth over. The psalmist, it hit me today on the platform. Psalmist says, He leadeth me down the path of righteousness, or He leadeth me by the still waters. But you got to drink from the water yourself. You gotta stay down the path that He puts you on. I'm afraid sometimes there's folks that are on that path and then they see some water somewhere else. Right? Sewer water is water too, right? Yeah. Grass is green around the septic tank. True story. Right? I don't know anybody in here trying to buy bottled water of septic tank. Right? But that's sometimes what we're doing spiritually, and we're indulging in all the stuff that we know is bad for us. And we're indulging it and we're consuming it, and then we're wondering why things are happening to us. You are what you eat. You are what you consume. You are what you put in, not just physically, but what you put in spiritually into your minds and into your hearts and into your lifestyles. We gotta watch ourselves and say, you know, if I'm gonna consume anything, I want it to be the bread of life. I want it to be the prayers. I want it to be around the people of God. I want it to be something that is pleasing and a sweet savor unto God. Somebody say, watch yourself.
Watch yourself.
See, when it says yourself, it is you. It's personal. You got to watch you. The Bible says to seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Got to worry about you. You ever tell somebody, man, well, you were just paying attention and not worried about everybody else, you would have never crashed the car. Right? You would have been paying attention about everyone else. doing your homework, right? Same principle applies to us with our walk with God. I could get real distracted if I'm worrying about, as an example, nobody get offended, Brother Angel, picking on Brother Angel. He's got a name, Angel. I mean, he's got to be perfect. Amen. But if I'm worried about everything Brother Angel's doing, and I'm watching Brother Angel, and I try to mimic him and try to do everything he does, and if he falls short or he falls down and scrapes his knee, then that's going to be a stumbling block to me. And if he quits or he gets tired, that's going to be a stumbling block to me. But if I keep my eyes on Jesus and say, you know what? I'm too busy paying attention to what he's doing, what he's saying, what he wants, reading what his word says instead of trying to indulge and watch everybody else. You're not going to have a problem getting to heaven, but you will have a problem getting through the day if you're worried about everybody else. You got to watch yourself. Can't be overcharged. We watch ourselves. Are we understanding that the church is made up of the people? And people are amazing, right? We're incredible. You are some of the most incredible people in all the world. But we fall short. Scripture says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But we're still a church. You work with people on your job that are slugs, right? They're poor performers, right? But there's a whole lot of things the boss knows about them that you're looking at them and watching. You don't know what they're dealing with or what's going on. And you're, man, I wish the boss would fire them. Well, we got to remember that we got a boss that knows a whole lot about us. You say, well, why doesn't pastor do something about it? Well, would you want God to treat you the way you would treat other people? But he's rich in mercy and he's loving and he's kind and he's compassionate. Better watch yourself. Watch that we don't become overcharged with self, with our self-pity and our selfishness and me and mine and my way and my time, my idea, my perspective, my feelings. I'm tired of waiting on God to answer my prayer. I need a door to open. I'm going to create an opportunity myself. I'm frustrated with the perpetual trials. Better watch yourself. Ephesians 5 and 17 says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Revelation 3 and 8 says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. Lord knows what you're doing. He sees all your hard work. Everything. He says, I have before thee an open door and no man can shut it. I know that you have little strength. I know that you've kept my word. I know that you have not denied my name. But I'm going to open a door that nobody can shut. We need to stand in the hallway of doors of opportunity that God's going to open and stand there and rejoice and pray and seek God's face and say, Lord, I'm going to be ready for whenever door in this hallway opens up to go in, because when you open a door, nobody can close it. And if there's a door closed, I don't want to frustrate the process and try to come in and kick it in. But Lord, I want to watch my heart. I want to watch my spirit. I want to watch my mind. I want to make sure that everything that I'm doing is pleasing to you, oh God, because I don't want to spend eternity in a place of wailing and gnashing of teeth, but I want to spend eternity with you, oh God, worshiping you, the King of glory.
Amen.
We don't want to get overcharged with the burdens and the cares of this life, because those will wear you out, get caught up in distress, wound you. My friend either sent it to me or I saw it. He said, worry's a lot like a rocking chair. Gives you something to do, but it accomplishes nothing. Sometimes that's what I feel that we as church people try to do, is we try to live to the expectation of somebody else. Trying to be what others think you should be instead of what God needs you to be. Let me give somebody a warning here. If you're going through a trial or tribulation, it's just a test. You say, well, I've been going through the same thing over and over and over. Well, you got to pass the test, man. Learn from it. There's some shaking and rattling and rolling, and it's because God's about to do something, or he's trying to teach you something. You got to be able to withstand what God's going to give you. So watch yourself. Jesus tells us in the verse right before our scripture text in Luke 21 and 33, he says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So when the battle is over and the dust settles, and even though you have the weariness of the battle and you're grasping for air, God will see you through. God will take care of you. Jesus tells his disciples over and over and over again. Matthew 25 and 13, he tells him, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." We gotta watch. We gotta be awake. We gotta be spiritually aware. We gotta be focused on our salvation. We gotta have every alert and every radar on to say, you know what? Nope, that's not of God. Nope, that's of the flesh. Nope, that's not pleasing to God. That is feeding the flesh. Nope, that's idleness. Nope, that's not holiness. Nope, that's weariness. Nope, that's not of God. We gotta have every alert, every radar on and say, you know what? As we have a radar detector in our car waiting for the police officer, we gotta have radar detectors in the spirit and say, you know what? I wanna make sure that I have accountability, that I have people in my life, not just a pastor, but I have a Bible, I have the Word of God, I have the promises of God that I got to keep in front of me, and I got to keep my eyes focused on the cross. I'm getting to heaven and saying, you know what? The world behind me and God before me, because if He's for me, nobody can be against me. So I got to watch myself. I got to watch myself and determine if it's grumpiness or if it's carnality. Gotta watch myself if it's anger or bitterness. I gotta watch myself to determine if it's just a difference of opinion or if it's an offended spirit.
Right.
I gotta watch myself to ensure if it's positive feedback with the solution or if it's a critical spirit. Gotta watch ourselves. Keep my spirit right. Be alert, because you can get offended and get off the right track real quick when God is answering everyone else's prayers and He doesn't answer yours. Sometimes an unanswered prayer is an answered prayer. You got to watch yourself when you are not rejoicing when somebody else gets their blessing. When their kids pray through, or a backslider comes in that's been away from God, and you're like, oh, there they go again. You better watch yourself. You better be the first one behind that sister praying for her, praying for that brother, and saying, you know what, I'm with you, I'm for you. You better watch yourself. Better watch yourself when those young people are having a rough time and they're sitting in the back talking, and you say, you know what? What's their problem? And tell their parents off. You better watch yourself, because such were some of you. Better watch yourself. Become caught up about what God is doing for others versus what God has done for me. When we begin to compare ourselves, the Bible says that's not wise. Watch yourselves when you allow your prayer life to become a fraction of your day versus the foundation of your day. Watch ourselves when we become engaged in all the activity of life and the responsibility of the stuff that we end up burdened because of the stuff. Luke 21 and 36 says, "Watch ye therefore and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man." Let's don't get caught off guard. Don't get caught sleeping on your post. Those of you that have served in military or in any kind of responsibility of having to stay awake at the wee hours of the night when everybody else is sleeping, you know how hard it is to stay awake. The closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the second coming of the Lord, there's going to be a whole lot of things that are going to keep us distracted, that are going to try to keep us, or are going to rock us to sleep. But we got to watch ourselves and say, nope, God has given me a responsibility. God has given me a family. God has given me a ministry. God has given me salvation, and it's something precious. I'm going to make sure that I'm ready. I got to make sure that I don't get too comfortable, that I don't get caught sleeping on my post. I want to watch myself and be ready for when the Lord calls me home.
Yeah.
Don't get comfortable in your life. Don't get too comfortable. Pastor, well, money's good. Marriage is good. I'm almost an empty nester. My health is good. I finally reached some status. I'm in a wonderful spot. I'm about to graduate. There's light at the end of the tunnel. I'm almost out of debt. You better watch yourself. You better watch yourself. I'm raising the flag this morning. I'm sounding the alarm. Now is not the time to sit in the rocking chair and to doze off, but now is the time to do everything we can for the glory and the honor of the Lord.
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
But we got to be cognitive of the devices of the enemy. You know you better than anybody else. You know what you could get caught up with real quick. You know you. Somebody say, I know me. So we watch ourselves.
Yeah.
We don't know when the Lord's coming back. We got to be ready. He's coming back for a people that are ready, filled with His Spirit, baptized in His name, doing His will, a life that's pleasing unto Him, holy and acceptable. The Scripture tells us that we've been chosen for such a time. The Scripture tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2 and 9, for you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. We better watch ourselves when we spend more time condemning and complaining about the praise and worship team instead of praising and worshiping the King of Kings. We better watch ourselves when we spend more time complaining about some of the restrictions Pastor has put on instead of saying, you know what, I'm just going to be a worshiper because it's all about Him. You better watch yourself. Because when He comes back, He's going to come back and disrupt somebody's day. He's going to disrupt somebody's college class and somebody's nap. Somebody's saying, yeah, I hope He disrupts my college class right during finals week. I hope He comes back. He's going to disrupt somebody's nap. Somebody's wedding day is going to get disrupted. Yeah. Someone's retirement's going to get cut short. But we have to be ready for when He comes.
Yeah.
Are you ready? 1 Peter 2 and 11 says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Like those words, begin to break those downs. Just we're strangers in this world. Abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Whew. Tell your neighbor, stay focused. Ready or not, He's coming. We don't like to wait, right? Waiting's not fun. Anybody like waiting for anything? No? Right. And we pay extra at Legoland so we don't have to wait in line. Right? You slip the server at the restaurant an extra $10. Say, hey, just get us in. Get us a table. Right? We don't like to wait. We want to be the first one. But we got to wait. We got to wait. Things happen when you wait. The other day I got getting the oil change on my car, and it was a beautiful day because it's felt like March for a long time. So I went outside to sit down real quick, and this, I don't want to say elderly man, but an older man, came by, and he said, sir, can I sit by you? I said, ah, absolutely, man. I'm just enjoying the sun, the rays. And we began to talk, and he was an attorney. And so you had a pastor and attorney sitting outside talking to one another about all kinds of stuff. It was interesting. And one thing he said, you know, his name was George. Said, I don't know when the last time I even had a conversation with somebody like some of the stuff we're talking, dealing with. Because you go in the waiting room, and there's full of people, but everybody's like this. He's all, this is quite refreshing. Can I tell you? Sometimes we go through life and there's people that are waiting on us to share the gospel with them or a testimony. But we're too distracted. Better watch ourselves. Sometimes we're coming into the house of God, or we're going throughout the day, and God is trying to speak to us. Trying to give us an answer to something we've been praying about. And we're too distracted. We're just worried about everything and just not even got our radar working so we can receive the answer from the Lord. Can I tell you, we got to watch ourselves. We got to make sure that we're ready to hear from Him when He calls us, and ready to hear from Him when He speaks to us, and we're ready to give an answer to somebody that is asking us about Christ and asking us about the plan of salvation, and we could tell them to repent and to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and he shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And he said, Pastor, I'm supposed to be retired, but I'm busier now than ever. I said, well, I can't relate to that. But the psalmist tells us in Psalms 102 and 3, for my days are consumed like smoke. Can anybody relate to that? No, watch what happens tomorrow. My bones are burnt as an earth. It's like my day goes by like that. Who would have thought it had been June 2nd already? The prophet writes, Isaiah 38 and 12, my age is departed. Anybody testify? It is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. Put it up and take it down. What a solemn opportunity for us this morning to be reminded and take careful consideration of where we will spend eternity. Because James tells us that life is a precious gift of the Lord, where you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. Scripture tells us in Ephesians 5 and 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. New Living Translation says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Got to watch ourselves. Busyness, I've said it before, but busyness is not a spiritual gift. The hamster is busy, but doesn't ever go anywhere. Just goes in a circle. But busyness is full of activity, full of distracting detail. Jesus taught about this and he spoke about it. The people came to listen and to hear. But there were people that still didn't believe. There were still people that were distracted. There were still people that got caught up. Because you remember one of the last encounters Jesus had with his people. He said, tarry ye in Jerusalem till ye be filled with the power from on high. And there was hundreds of them at that time. I believe the scripture tells us there was at least 500. When you get to Acts chapter 2 and they're in the upper room and they're having a prayer meeting, there was approximately 120 that received the infilling of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. I wonder if some of those folks had some regret. Said, man, I should have waited. I missed out. Just as we have some regrets in life that we didn't invest in certain companies or didn't pay more attention in school or didn't treat somebody the way we should have and we have some regrets. Let's not have some regrets with our walk with God. Let's not have a regret of our anointing or our ministry involvement. Let's not have a regret with faithfulness. But let's say, you know what, Pastor, you preached to me a message about watching myself. And it made all the difference. Philippians 2 and 21 says, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. It's the same thing today. People are looking out for themselves. I get it. You can't depend on anybody, but you can depend on Him.
Amen.
He'll never leave you. He won't forsake you. Even people in the church are going to let you down. But guess what? He will never let you down. He's got our best interest in mind. Matthew 26 and 41 says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Are we maintaining our convictions throughout the week, or do they wear off the further we get from Sunday? Are we overcharged and consumed with life, and that's overtaking our commitment to the Lord? Is our devotion to God anemic? Have we put Pastor Panero on mute? Watch yourself. Hebrews 13 and 17 says, obey them which have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they, that they may give an account, that I may do it with joy, not with grief, because it's unprofitable to you. Better watch yourself. Is your Bible collecting dust? Does it sit in your car from week to week? Do we even have a Bible that we bring to church? Better watch yourself. Take careful notice. Sir Thompson, if you would come. Mark 13 and 33 says, take heed, watch and pray, and submit yourselves. Take heed and watch and pray, for you not know when the time is come. For the Son of Man is a man taketh a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter or the watcher to watch. Watch ye therefore, for you not know when the master of the house cometh, at even, at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Watch. I'm certain there's going to be people, Dr. Walker, they're going to say, I'm just too busy. I'm too busy. We do that, right? Supposed to go to the dentist twice a year. I'm just too busy. Just too busy. Supposed to go to the eye doctor once a year. I'm just too busy. Get to a certain age, you're supposed to go to the doctor for a checkup. I'm just too busy. There's going to be people that their excuse for missing out with God, just too busy. Better watch yourself. heard the pastor. I heard the bishop. I knew the scriptures. I was baptized. I was filled with the Spirit. I'd write a check, $100 for the kids once in a while. But I was just in my own little world. Just too busy. Just too busy. Brother Sanders from Hawaii shared with me. In fact, Brother Cornejo, he and I talked about it when he was here. About the, I don't even know how to say it. Somebody made a big mistake last year in Hawaii about a intergalactic missile. Did I say that right, Mr. Coronado? Somebody in Hawaii made a big boo-boo and said that there was a missile that was coming. This was not a drill. It was the real deal. So you have 7 minutes to get ready before it all. 7 minutes. Not a lot of time. You could go 8 minutes without oxygen. 7 minutes. Thank the Lord it was a boo-boo. Right? Thank the Lord it was a mistake. But they told me, said my next door neighbor didn't even know what was going on. He was out there in his yard with the weed whacker. And where everybody's praying and panicking and running around, and people on the golf course just running and getting in the carts and going everywhere early in the morning. People crying and sobbing and mental distress afterwards. They had 7 minutes warning. I don't say that as a scary story. Just reality, how quick things can change. And that was a mistake. That was not something to play with. That was something serious. But you could preach a message 7 minutes to eternity. Better watch ourselves. Gotta watch ourselves. Pastor, I was trying to do the doing good. We didn't have a relationship with the Lord. No Holy Ghost fire. No holiness. Could have been modest in your approach, but you were backsliding in heart. You were cavalier in your thoughts. The only time I prayed is when I prayed for my food. God, help us. God, help us. Let's watch ourselves this morning. Because there's a place called heaven that He's prepared for us. But there is also a place called hell. John describes heaven in Revelation 21 and 21 as having 12 gates with 12 pearls. And the streets of the city was pure gold. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 16 and 13 as we stand, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Be strong. Stay alert." Got to watch ourselves. There's a lot here on earth that we can get distracted with. There's a lot. There's a ton. There's tough times. There's good days. There's bad days. There's good messages. There's bad messages. There's convicting messages. There's edifying messages. And then there's messages like this. You're kind of like, oh, better chew my food slowly. I better make some phone calls. I better pray. I better watch myself. 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking who he may devour." He's not running, he's walking very carefully, looking to see who he can eat up. So watch the attitudes. Watch your prayer life. Watch your dedication to God. Watch your church attendance. Watch your entertainment. Watch your holiness inwardly and outwardly. Watch your commitment to God. Watch your heart. Watch your pride. Watch your stewardship. Quit worrying about everybody else. Watch yourselves. 1 Timothy 4 and 7 says, "But refuse profane and old wives' tables, wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. And he ends it and says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Pastor, I got a little caught up. I got a little distracted. We'll fix it. I got some burdens I've been carrying around. We'll fix it. Make it right this morning. 1 Peter 4:7 says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober, watch unto prayer. You want to draw closer to God and you need to settle some things for yourself. You need to recalibrate. You need to talk to the Lord this morning, and you want your relationship with the Lord to be better than it has ever been. I invite you to the altar this morning. If you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost or renewed in the Spirit, if this is your first time here, I invite you to come and pray with us. We're not perfect people, but we serve a perfect God. We all have our ups and downs, and we've all fall off track once in a while, and we all sometimes wrestle with pride, and sometimes we say things that we regret. But I gotta watch myself. I gotta talk to the Lord this morning. Sometimes I don't think before I speak. Sometimes I could sit and read a book and not read the Bible. Sometimes I try to cut corners. Sometimes I just rather spend more time at Starbucks than at church. Sometimes I just get caught up in about me. We watch ourselves. We gotta watch ourselves. Fell off the track, and thank God I was able to.